Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
The four magic words for this morning that there's a lot to unpack in Luke 1 through 10. And stumbling, I'll talk a little bit about that. Obviously, forgiveness, faith, and then service. But before I get started with today's message, you know, I have to take a little step back. You mentioned grandkids, the little terrorist. You know, you have to love them, you know, and it's really a good thing. You know, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. You know, it has always been one of my prayers has always to be blessed that I can live long enough to experience the fruits of my labor. Our youngest is what, 34? Oh gosh, I'm sorry. I don't know the ages of my kids, but he's well beyond 18, well beyond 18, off on his own, having a good time. But the true blessings come with grandchildren. You know, having grandkids is called payback. It's called payback. And you remember all the times when you were rebellious, or when they were rebellious. Oh, you couldn't get them to do anything, and they were just a pain. You remember those days. And you just couldn't wait for them to get out of the house, have children of their own, so that when they will need you, I know that they're going to need grandparents from time to time. And that gives you the chance to give payback to your kids, you know, because you want to ruin those grandkids. You want to ruin them. You want to make sure your children understand, or they will understand what you had to go through. So you want to make sure you put them through it. And so I was watching Christopher is the youngest of my grandchildren. And I was sitting there watching him at the state wrestling championships. He won it last year. That was a blessing. And when he won it last year, I said, well, that's a blessing that has come true to me. Because I remember his father, see. I remember all the times running around the state, running around the Midwest, all these wrestling tournaments, a lot of times. So here I am sitting in the stand watching my grandson wrestle. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, if my dad could see this. And I was thinking, if Mike could see this, I was thinking about our oldest boy, if Mike could have seen this. But I was blessed enough that I could see it. The day of him walking out there with all the championship match. He won it again on Sunday. And talking about humbleness, as I'll be talking about today. And so he says to the coach, he says, coach, at the banquet on the 7th, make sure you mention to everybody that I'm a two-time. So I said, well, Chris, be humble. And so I was thinking about that when you mentioned grandchildren. But here we go. Back in 2023, I'm going to try something new. Now, all of us in this room, every year, January 1st, what do we do? What do we do? New Year's resolution. Whatever it might be. I'm going to try and be good, but I'm trying to be patient. I don't know what those resolutions are. But you make them on January 1st and by the 3rd, oh, forget it. It was a wasted cause. But I decided, rather than going through this year after year, making these New Year's resolutions and breaking them within a week, I decided I'd try something different. So in 2023, my New Year's resolution was blessings. Blessings. And not praying that the good Lord bless me. No, I'm going to flip the script. I flipped the script. So I'm going to say, I'm going to bless others. Whatever I have, some of my most prized possessions, give it away. Just give it away. So I started that in 23. And I'm telling you, be careful what you pray for. Blessings have just been coming down and coming down. That was 23. And then 24, I say, this is going to be the year that I increase my faith. Oh, ye of little faith. it hadn't gone. That's why this scripture is really meant for me today. Well, yeah, I'm going to try and increase my faith in 24. I don't know. I get maybe a C, you grade on that one. And then 25, believe it or not, 2025 is the year of forgiveness. And so my message, the next time I give a message, it's going to come out of Luke. I was thinking about Luke 19. But then when I made that New Year's resolution and I looked over here at Luke, I said, yeah, that's I need to hear this. I need to hear it for myself. So let us pray. Precious Lord, Father God, once again, you found favor in us because we are here. And because we are here, oh God, and you have started us on this journey, I just ask and pray in Jesus' name that as we go through your words today, oh God, that it will that these words will prick our hearts and keep us ever so mindful of how much you have forgiven us and how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, I got to put on my hat. I started wearing hats. I don't know, I'm getting bald. My old bald head. There's a lot to dig in, shall we? And then we'll start out, and I got here in my nice little notes. Yeah. Now, I want you to bear in the first, we're going to dissect this, and I'm going to go through a little bit at a time because there are going to be four major themes that come out of these 10 verses. And the first verse is, and he said to his disciples. Now understand, he's talking to his disciples. And he said to his disciples, and if you go back, and there was a whole multitude of people. There was a big, large crowd that Jesus was addressing. But he turned to his disciples, huh? And when he turned to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come. Hold that thought. Temptation to sin are surely to come. Surely to come. He didn't say they might come. He said, they are sure to come. That's like that. You can expect it. You can expect it. Then he goes on to say, but woe. Now we got to talk about that word. But woe unto the one through whom they come. So he's saying temptations are going to come. But woe to the person that brings them about. And then he starts, and let me go a little bit further. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck as if were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. And so let's talk a little bit about those verses because it says a lot. Number one, you're going to be tempted. He's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to the Pharisees, or the scribes. He turned to his disciples and he said, you are going to be tempted, but don't. if you are the cause of that temptation, woe unto you. Woe unto you. And so what does that mean? I was thinking about that, and believe it or not, things don't happen by accident. I'm certain of that now. There's always, you may say, oh, it's a coincidence. Nothing is a coincidence. So there's a lot of times that Jesus said, whoa. And I have a few of them over in Matthew, over in Luke. A lot of times he said, whoa. But this fell out of my Bible as I was coming in here. I picked up my Bible and this fell out. This is a reading that obviously I must have given this reading because it was in my Bible. And I have to pause and because when it fell out of my Bible, I took a look at it and said, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it comes out of Matthew 11, 20-24. And this is Jesus again, and it's talking about woe to the unrepented cities. Then he began to denounce the cities that most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazini. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For the mighty works done to you had not been done in Tyre and Sidon. And then he goes on to name a few other cities. Woe unto you. That means it's going to be very bad. Very bad for you. And so woe unto you. And let's go on. Let me continue. And I think I stopped at 3:3. Pay attention to yourselves. In my text, it says, be on your guard. And that's where you have to stop, church. And we have to pause. Be on your guard. Now, there are a number of things. There are a number of things that we are confronted with every day. Be on your guard. Meaning that you have to think a little bit as you walk through this worldly activities throughout the day, because the enemy is always, have you stumbled lately? The enemy has always is putting roadblocks, detours, and for some of us, that enemy, if you will, is always kind of like putting little things in our ears. Putting little thoughts in our heads. That's like, be on your guard. Be on your guard. Now, after Jesus said this, I have to jump over and say, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and returns seven times, and repent, forgive him. Bingo! Now let's be honest in this. This is a hard one for me. I got it right here. This is hard. It is hard, ladies. When you've been wronged, scorned, guys, it's hard for me. You know, I'll be the first one to admit. You come up and slap me one time, I'm gonna slap you back. You slap me two times, I'm gonna slap you two times. You know what I'm saying? But that's not the Christian thing to do. That's not, but you know, how many of you will be able to stand there and be slapped around and forgive that person? Or they wrong you. How easily it is for you to want to, what? That magic word starts with an R. Revenge. Revenge. Like I say, it's kind of hard because people have done things to me that I'm still trying to get over, trying to forgive them for doing that because they didn't have to. Well, that's another story. But look at Jesus' response. I'm talking about you must forgive them. And the disciples ask, if I come over here, pay attention. Repent, forgive them, let me move it on. Boom. Increase. And the response. The apostles say to the Lord, increase our faith. That's a good answer. Why did they say increase our faith? Take a guess. Well, I don't take a guess. You know, increase our faith. That is, are they implying that they have very, oh ye of little faith? They're replying that they have no faith. They're saying, increase our faith. You know, and they're saying that because I need that. I would have said the same thing. Lord, I need more faith because I don't think I can forgive seven times, being wrong seven times, being wrong and it hurt. And that now I have to, I have to forgive them. They repent and I don't think they're being honest about it. But they said, well, I'm sorry, I repent, please forgive me. I don't know if I could do it. Can you? And I hear the disciples saying, Lord, increase our faith. You know, and this is an excellent response because the apostle recognized their need for greater faith. That's one. And they recognize having strong faith will enable them to get over the wrong that was created. At the same time, they understood that the source of their faith, the ultimate source of their faith, comes from our Lord and Savior. And so they're saying, give us more faith. But then the response that Jesus gives, and the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you should say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And so it's not that the disciples are asking for more faith. They're really asking for a more quality of faith. You know, some of us think of faith as being like filling a water glass with water or something, or some type of beverage. Give me more faith, meaning, you know, give me more, pouring more into the glass. When in fact, what you have in that glass is more than enough. It's like having, you know, purify something that's very, very pure, very, very small. I'm trying to think of an example of where a little bit is better than a lot. I'm lost to think of one, but it'll come to me. And so it's our quality of faith that we have to look, that we have to be aware of within ourselves. You know, if I went around the room and asked you, well, how is your faith? Everybody would say that my faith in my Savior is strong. Well, how strong? You know, how determined is it? How rooted is your faith? You know, and we can have, you know, I call them the old heathens. They think they have a lot of faith until they get out there in the world, and then you come discover that some of the things that they do and say is not biblical. But they'll tell you they have a lot of faith. But it's that quality of faith that we have to, that I have to think about. And it's like, if you have that, and it will obey you. Bingo. And when it comes to the unworthy servant, and then I have to, this is where I have to pause just a little bit as I jump over here. You know, when I was putting together this, when I looked at these verses, a couple of things came to my mind. Question number one that I come to my mind is stumbling. When the last time I stumbled? A lot. Stumble a lot. Stumble in many ways. Stumble in the ways that sometimes there are people that I don't like that I just assume push in front of a bus. I'm talking to the saints this morning. You please forgive this sinner. Please forgive me. Stumble a lot in the sense that the other day, I said something I kind of regretted to one of the grandkids. Stumbled. You say, well, what I said to him? Junior and Cameron, terrorists. You little terrorists. And I said to them, I said, you know, I can always count on you two to do something embarrassing. That's what I said. That's a stumble. I caught myself saying that. That really is a stumble. You know, you can, woe unto you that cause the little ones. Go back in the verse when Jesus spoke about the little ones. He wasn't talking about children. He was not addressing the little ones as children. He was addressing the sinners and those that come to hear his message, those that were coming to repent and follow Jesus. Those are the little ones. Those are the ones that I'm after. I didn't come to save the righteous. Pharisees, we know all about them. It's the sinners. Be careful and don't stumble. Don't you stumble, but don't cause them to stumble either. Those are my children that you're going to be the shepherd of. That's what he's saying. And so, you can stumble, that's bad, but then you can also, your words, what you do or what you don't do, or what you say or what you don't say, and how you say it can cause people to stumble as well, can cause them to go off into the dark side. And with little children, be careful with the little ones, because they're always watching, they're always absorbing, and they're always internalizing. Stumbling. I stumble from time to time, but I pray, like it says, woe unto you if you cause the little ones to stumble. So I got to repent on that one. know, and from time to time, you know, you got to go back and review, if you will, your day. Go back and review. Look at, well, what did I do today? Did I cause somebody to stumble? Or did I cause, or was I uplifting? You have to make that decision. Huh? Uplifting. You'll be surprised with things you say and don't say. Commercial break. Talking about blessings and talking about forgiveness. And, oh my God, this is, nothing happens by accident. So here I am, and this was last week Tuesday, and I was working on this message. Last week Tuesday, up at the university in one of my chemistry lectures, there was this young lady there, and she sits right in the front of the front row there, and I took a look at her, and she seemed to be like out there. Well, all the college students are like out there. But there was something about her that grabbed my attention. So I walked over and said, "You look like you're spacing out." And you know what she said to me? She said, "Well, yes, I am, because I'm thinking about the scriptures." She quoted a couple of scriptures I'm thinking about, and how I was going to deliver those scriptures to her, some friends of hers. I said, "Oh, really?" She said, "Yeah." So we had a chat. Well, I said, "Well, you just passed this course for a fact." So after she got really happy about that, she said, "Well, how should I deliver?" And she was working on some conversion. She had a couple of students that were on the fence as to whether or not they should attend church. And she says, "Well, how should I approach them?" I says, "Approach them with a pure heart. Approach them with a conviction. Approach them with your conviction and how much you believe. And when they see the excitement in how you present your faith, you know, and being enthusiastic about what you do and how you do it and how you say it can be infectious." And I said, "That's all." He said, "But just present that word, you know, in the excited way that you are about it, and let God take care of the rest." And so let's take God take care of the rest. So, will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, "Come at once and recline at the table"? That's not going to happen. Hey, ain't that right, wife? Yeah, ain't gonna happen. Will he not rather say to him, "Prepare supper for me"? Does that sound like me? Mm-hmm. "Prepare supper for me and dress properly." Yes. "And serve me while I eat and drink, and afterwards you will eat and drink." That's not true. We eat together. But men, we're outnumbered today. One of these days, I'm going to freak my wife out. Unlikely. But one of these days, I'm going to freak her out. You know what I'm going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And you're not going to know it's coming. I'm going to try and prepare a meal. I'm going to try. I'll probably fail. But I'll try. I'll try. And then when she comes in, I'll have the table all set. Dinner to be served. And I don't know, maybe I'll dress in a three-piece suit. Don't count on it. But does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? And then I have to stop there and take a pause. You know, we often hear going beyond what is expected. You know, if you do what is expected, yeah, you'll get a good grade. But if you go beyond, you get that like that A+ or something. When you do more than what is commanded of you to do, it's like getting like the Medal of Honor when you're showing bravery, going beyond what a normal individual will expect you to do. Or you just take. You do A, B, okay, you need to do A, B, C, and you do A, B, C, and that's it. Say, I have satisfied the commandments of God. Bang, bang, bang. That's all I need to do. Really? Don't you think you need to do a little bit more? And that's what we're getting at, huh? Because what he was commanded. So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. In other words, what is a great servant? What is a great servant? The person that who just goes out in the field and prepares the fields, come in and they prepare a dinner for you. And now let me put it bring it down to an earthly. You know, what is a great servant? Is it a great servant for us to just go out and perhaps spend time like at the Hope Center? Yeah, we're doing good work. But it's even greater and better work if we take all this love outside of the Hope. Not just this one place, but other places. Not just for the Hope, but for many other people of less fortune, people with less fortune than ourselves that we see all the time. And we relay, or we think that others will take care of an immediate need that we know that they need, but we rely on somebody else to do it. Think about it for a second. You know, what type of servant are you? Will you just prepare the meal and say, here, serve yourself? Or will you prepare the meal, serve that individual, and then ask, after you have served the individual and satisfied their needs, you know, come and say, what else can I do to help you? What else can I do to help you? What type of servant are you? I kind of end with that question. Have we only done what was our duty? You know, I started forgiveness in 2023. I started with blessings in 2023. Oh, yeah. I said, well, I've been blessed. And so rather than hoarding my blessings, I get in a lot of trouble out at Wisconsin AV. I used to get in trouble until I had to explain it to them. I had to explain it because I don't charge for my flight lessons to anybody. No, I don't. That's a blessing. I can, but no. That was a gift from God. Share it. And as a result of that, well, you're here in a couple of weeks at the aviation ministry that you've been supporting. Thank you very much. You'd be surprised at what your donations have done for a lot of kids. You'd be surprised. I'll tell you about it. But in the meantime, sharing the blessings. Don't hoard them. Give it away. Give it. See what happens. I'm crying. We're crying the blues now. We get calls all the time. Kids, oh, can you teach me how to fly? Yes, I can. Where are we going to get the money from? I don't know, but here it comes. Here it comes. And then 2024, forgiveness. I'm still working on that one. There are people I still don't like. I still want to push me in front of that bus. But the hardest thing, there's a couple of professors at the university that really, I just call it the way it is. You know, they have racist tendencies, and I know that. And rather than getting mad, I freak them out. I freak them out every chance. And I'm sincere about it. And so one, the chairperson, I started on her a couple of years ago. Oh, yeah, I would just walk up to her. Oh, hi, doctor. Oh, I love you. Be blessed. Have a blessed day. Every time I was here, shocker. Now, we're on first name basis. And then there is faith. Which brings me to my conclusion, if you will. Then there is faith. No, not yet. Faith, there's one more. Yeah, faith is the last one. I talk about service. Do good service. And then there is faith. That's the one that I have to work on. Will, am I faithful enough to put all my trust in the Lord? Will he deliver when I want him to deliver? You know, will he? And that's where we all fall short, because we all have our own little timeline as to when we want things to happen, and when they don't happen, when we want them to happen, then we get a little shaky. No. God has his own clock, and you need to get on his clock and not yours. Just keep the faith. Good things come to those who what? Believe in the Lord. Let us pray. Precious Lord, Father God, we are so grateful, O God, because you have done just marvelous things for us. Father God, we just ask and pray in Jesus' name that as we go about in our daily lives, you know, we pray, O God, that you will prevent us from stumbling. Oh, we pray, O God, that you will give us a pure heart, a pure mind, and a heart full of forgiveness and love. Father God, we pray that we will become excellent servants to satisfy our brothers and sisters, that will be pleasing to you and only to you. And God, we pray. Precious Lord, Father God, as we leave this place but not your presence, I just ask and pray in your precious name, in Jesus' precious name, that at your appointed time, let us reassemble in this place such that we can testify of your goodness and of your mercies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.